السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، over the past few mornings we have been discussing and reminding ourselves, because indeed this program I personally consider it to be a reminder for myself more than anyone else. So what you are going to be hearing from us would just be a repetition of many of the advices which you may have heard previously. But nevertheless, as Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind one another, for indeed a reminder is beneficial. So we had mentioned that this Mubarak, auspicious month of Ramadan, the real purpose and goal is so that effectively the person may stay away from sins and guna. Because Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you can develop this quality of taqwa, the quality of consciousness and the conscious awareness that Allah is watching you, which would then prevent the person to stay away from guna. So effectively, the purpose of the month of Ramadan is the abstention of sins, the abstention of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as the month of Ramadan, Allah has made it extremely conducive for us to train ourselves and to bring ourselves under control. Thereafter, the person is now rejuvenated, he is once again strong, he can now try and apply himself again and prevent himself from committing sins and guna. It's a training program, 30-day training program. When the person has his nafs under control, subhanallah, that person can be trusted in any environment. Today, unfortunately, the missing ingredient amongst the missing ingredients is also this quality of taqwa. So if you don't have taqwa, then we find the situation that we have now. You have the police force. Now those individuals, they don't have any sense of trust. There's no consciousness that somebody is watching them. They have to be honest. So now the government has to now have another team that polices the police force. And now that team that is policing the police force, they themselves are corrupt. So now there has to be another team that investigates the team that polices the police force. And that process just goes on and on and on. The missing aspect is that consciousness, that Allah is watching, that I have to stand before Allah Ta'ala and give an account. This morning in the Fajr Salah, the ayat of the Quran Sharif, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Allah Ta'ala says, as far as that person is concerned, he fears standing before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That one day I have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to present myself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala has to question me, that why did you commit this sin? Why did you use the faculty which I had given you? Why did you use it for my disobedience? خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. He fears standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that fear that he has to give account before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it drives him, it gives him that himmat and that courage. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, that he restrains his evil desires. He restrains his nafs from the fulfillment of its evil desires. Allah says, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That individual, his reward is, and his abode is Jannah. The gardens of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all directly into the gardens of Jannah. But this is the important aspect that we are trying to develop in this month of Ramadan. That self-restraint and that ability to stay away from guna. And it is an easy month to do that. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with this fasting. So therefore, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawrullah Murqadahu, who, for those who may not have known, but he was the Shaykh of Hazrat Mawainus Patel Sahib Nawrullah Murqadahu, and our current Shaykh Hazrat Mawainus Hakim Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, it was his respected father, very senior alim. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with such knowledge we cannot understand. Allah Ta'ala had given him such a level of wilayat. So nevertheless, the advices that have been given are from a reputable person, from a person who was accepted by senior ulama as arif billah, a person who had recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, that does not undermine any other mashayikh, mashallah, any person, whoever he has got munasibat with. Our kabirin were very particular with regards to this. Hazrat Wala himself says, kisi ahle dil ke sohbat jo mili kisi ko akhtar, usse a gaya hai jeena, usse a gaya hai marna. That, oh akhtar, any person who puts his hand in the hand of any wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person will really live, will really know or learn how to live in the true sense of the word, and he will learn how to die in the true sense of the word. Life will really become life for him, and death will really become worthwhile for that individual. So anyone, the person has got munasibah, because sometimes, I don't know why we're talking about this, anyway, sometimes the person, he has got affiliation or he has got munasibah with a particular sheikh. It's not an emotional thing, that now all the friends are becoming bayat to a certain sheikh, so chalo, let's all become bayat. Or we're making tashkil for it. The blood group has to meet. Sometimes there's no munasibah with the individual. The person gives very good talks. The person is a very good orator. The person is a very great alim. But the munasibat may not be there. That is a very important thing. If the munasibat is not there, then the blood group is not the same. Like we say, that the person needs to take a blood transfusion. And now, if he takes blood into his body, which is not meeting his blood group, what will happen is that his body will reject that blood. His body will not accept that blood. So in the same way, the person, whoever he becomes bayat, he has to ensure that there is munasibat, compatibility with that individual. And to understand this, we should sit in the company of the various mashayikh, sit in the programs, try and correspond. And after we get the replies and start administering the advices and we find there's munasibat, then we can take the next step. So nevertheless, Hazrat Wala says, mashallah, he says that there are four actions that if we implement in our lives, inshallah, we will achieve wilayat. We'll become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this month of Ramadan, who wouldn't want to become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? An ideal opportunity to become the friend and the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must remember that the doors of nubuwwat are closed. Nobody can become a nabi after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The doors of nubuwwat are completely closed. And those individuals who claimed nubuwwat, so they were totally rejected. Musaylama al-Kaddab, then Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. These were individuals who claimed that they were prophets regarding Mirza. So he said that, like Jibreel alayhi salam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam, I also had an angel that came to me. That angel's name was Tichi Tichi. They said that was the angel that came to me. So Allah ta'ala disgraced him, because it is mentioned that the Nabi, wherever he passes away, that is where he must be buried. Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam, he passed away in the room of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, and today that is the Rawdah Mubarak. The room of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, that is where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. So wherever a Nabi passes away, that is where he must be buried. Allah Ta'ala made it such that this Mirza, he passed away in the toilet. Now, if he claimed to be a prophet, so what's supposed to have happened was that he was supposed to have been buried in the toilet, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So Allah Ta'ala totally disgraced those individuals who claim nubuwwat after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the doors of nubuwwat are totally closed. Nobody can ever claim to be a Nabi. Even if the person desires, it's not possible. However, the doors of wilayat are open till the day of Qiyamah. Anybody can become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, since these doors of wilayat are open, shouldn't we have and aspire and desire to become the walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he has prescribed four actions. And he said that if we implement these four actions into our lives, then inshallah we are on the road to wilayat. Doesn't mean the person becomes the wali, but he is now on the road to wilayat. These are very difficult actions to bring into our lives. But inshallah, by bringing and implementing these four actions, inshallah eventually the person will get this taj and this crown of wilayat on his head. Just like how Hazrat Mu'ayyasab, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, who said that the 6 points in the work of Dawat and Tabligh, he said if we implement these 6 points in our lives, then inshallah the whole of deen, it will become easy for the whole of deen to come into our lives. He didn't say that those 6 points was deen itself. He said you bring those 6 points into your life, then inshallah it will become easy for the rest of the deen to come into our lives. Still the person has to make an effort do other things. So, inshallah, if we implement these four actions in our lives, and because it is challenging and because it is difficult, so it is hoped that the person, or the student who is given the difficult paper, and is able to answer the questions in the difficult paper, so now if an easy paper is given to him, it should become very easy for him to pass. That person who can pick up 100 kilograms, so for him to pick up 20 kilograms or 50 kilograms, that should be very easy. So if we can implement these things into our lives, inshallah, in the Mubarak month of Ramadan, then inshallah for us to control and put some effort on our nafs and restrain our nafs and make himmat to perform all other actions of deen should become easy inshallah. The first aspect is that he says that for the menfolk, we should make a niyat, a firm resolution to keep one first beard. The beard should be kept one full first. This is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for the person to, according to all four madahib, the keeping of the beard is wajib. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave an instruction. He said, خَالِفُ الْيَهُودِ أَوْفِرُ اللُّحَى وَحْفُ الشَّوَارِبَ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that oppose the ways of the Jews, oppose the ways of the mushrikeen and the polytheists. You lengthen your beard and shorten the mustaches. On one occasion, some ambassadors from the Persian Empire presented themselves before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, these were not Muslims. They came on behalf of the king and the emperor. So when they presented themselves, they had long mustaches and they were completely clean shaven. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw their faces, he immediately turned his face away. He turned his face away and he said, who asked you to do this to your face? Why did you do this to your face? So he said, Amarana Kisra, our ruler has instructed us to lengthen our mustaches and to shorten our beard. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but my Rabb has instructed me to lengthen my beard and shorten my mustache. Now, those of us who claim to be ashiks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we dearly love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should consider this. That sometimes we go to the Rawdah Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're presenting and we're standing before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are reciting as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. And our aqidah is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala has given him a kind of hayat in his grave. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man zarani ba'da wafati, faka'annama zarani fi hayati. That individual who visits me after my demise, it is as if he has visited me while I am alive. So our aqidah is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given a kind of a life in his grave. Now we are standing before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we are presenting our salam. And now, unfortunately, the beard has been trimmed or the beard has been completely shaven from the face. If Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed an aversion for disbelievers who had disfigured their faces in this manner, what kind of pain and discomfort and inconvenience we are causing to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by presenting ourselves that, Ya Rasulullah, I am your ummati, I am your follower, I claim to love you. And then we are standing in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This in itself should be sufficient for us to make himmat and say, Ya Allah, from now I make firm resolution to lengthen my beard, to grow my beard, and to keep it in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes society says a lot of things. One person came to Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi, he said, Hazrat, log haste hai. The people are laughing at me when I am keeping my beard. They're laughing at me. So he said, unko hasne do, taki qiyamat ke din tumko rona na padega. Let them laugh. Rather let them laugh now, so that on the day of Qiyamah you don't have to cry. To be in this world, you want to make them happy by taking your beard off. When you take the beard off, let the family and family members all be very happy with you. Oh, he's one of us now. See, he's kept his beard. He's not a Sufi Zap. He's not very pious. He fits in with our society. And now we can have a mixed gathering and everybody can sit like one kachumbar on a table, with the girls and the men and everybody looking at each other. I'm talking to his wife and he's talking to my wife and everybody's happy. So we rather have it like that there. We don't want all the segregation and all these things. So he must be part of us. So I want to make them happy. So you made them happy, but on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala's displeasure is being seen, now the person is crying. Sometimes the person is crying tears of blood. May Allah protect us. So you rather let people laugh at you in this world. They laughed at the Anbiya. They mocked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They mocked the Sahaba-i-Kiram. They mocked Nuh alayhi salam. The ayat of Nuh alayhi salam, قال إن تسخروا منا فإنا نسخر منكم كما. Today you are mocking at us. When Nuh alayhi salam was building that ship and trying to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were laughing and mocking at him. So he said, today you are mocking at us, but one day, on the day of Qiyamah, we'll be mocking at you. So let them laugh at us in this world. They want to laugh at you for the beard, whatever it may be, for the trousers above the ankles, let them laugh. But at least on the day of the Qiyamah, the person can smile and say, Tere mahbub ki ya Rab, shabahat leke aya hu, haqeeqat isko tu kar de, main surat leke aya hu. That, oh Allah, I have brought the figure and the form and the image of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You put the haqeeqat in it. You put the haqeeqat in it. As far as the beard is concerned, sometimes people say, but no, it doesn't look too good. So beautiful, subhanallah, there too Allah ta'ala reward our kabirin. They've given us an antidote. And there's a beautiful shair in Kaprat. The person says, agar daadi ke rakh lene se, chehra badnuma lagta. Agar daadi ke rakh lene se, chehra badnuma lagta, to phir daadi mere sarkar ki sunnat na hote. That if this daadi, if this beard was something which disfigured the face, if it was something that made the face look ugly, then would Allah Ta'ala ever have allowed something ugly to be on the beautiful face of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Would Allah Ta'ala ever have allowed something ugly to be on the beautiful face of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So let us understand, unfortunately we are living in an abnormal society where things which are good are looked down upon, are frowned upon. The person who is normal, he is regarded as abnormal. And the person who is abnormal, unfortunately, he is regarded as right and normal. So we have the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, let us all make himmat and, you know, encourage our family members. And if we have children or we have students, somebody who we can influence. So we should emphasize this beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the keeping of the beard. Inshallah, by implementing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become pleased. We are not saying that if a person implements the beard, so now he becomes the Allah wala of the time. Sometimes you may hear the statement, and again, this is shaitan's trick. Yeah, but Morana, he's got a big beard, such a big beard. And he's doing this, and he's doing that, and he's doing this. So we don't need to blame the beard. The beard doesn't instruct the person to commit fraud. The beard doesn't instruct the person to commit theft. The beard doesn't instruct the person to commit sins. That is that particular individual, and he's got a certain weakness. We have got perhaps two weaknesses. We not keeping the beard, plus the other sins that we're committing. At least this one sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, he's got in his life. Perhaps through the barakat of that sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually will give him the himmat and courage to make sincere tawbah and rid himself of other sins. But you see, this is way how shaitan stops us from keeping the beard. Now you see, because that person got a full beard and he's doing this here, so I rather not keep the beard. You see, this is how shaitan tries to deceive a person and prevent the person from going onto the straight path. So let us separate the two. Because the beard never instructs any person to commit a sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.